I'm not all over the place. I got high expectations, and this season sucks. Period.
Holiday season's upon us, gentlemen. What does that mean? Get your butt down to Bill Curry Ford, Northdale Mabry, just a little north of the stadium. It's not Northdale Mabry. It's right there in Tampa. And easy access, whether you're coming down from Carrollwood, if you come across the Courtney Campbell, it's right there when you get on the Tampa side. Coming up from South Tampa, easy access, tremendous showroom, great values, and one of the greatest Buck fans you're ever going to see in Sean Sullivan. Pay him a visit. He's going to take care of you. The time is now. You're not going to get a better deal. And next year, who knows what the prices are going to be. Right now, you got to take advantage. Get your butt down to Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan will take care of you. Get your holiday deals done.
You've heard us talk about pin chasers here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Well, you know what? Now it's time to actually go to pinchasers.net and reserve a lane. How easy is that? Tuesday nights, any night, you pick the night. There is a great daily special at Pin Chasers. Tuesday is Pizza Bowl, starting at 9 p.m. Enjoy unlimited pizza and bowling for just $10.99. Shoes are always free. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. to closing. All three Pin Chasers locations. Get to pinchasers.net. Look at all the daily specials. Reserve a lane. And, of course, make Pin Chasers your home for your personal or company, small business, holiday party. It doesn't get any better than Pin Chasers. All right, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on live from One Buck Palace. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper is here. Do not fear. And the Baron of Buffalo Wild Wings himself, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Prince of Pasco County, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Ira, how are you? It's good to see you. Tell us about the new dog. What's going on? The diet? The dog?
I'll tell you the first thing that our listeners need to know. I'm looking at the clock right here in this room where Bruce Arians goes to the podium four times a week and takes soft questions from the Tampa Bay media. I'm looking at the clock. It says 6:37. You know what that means, DeCamper? Arians is gone. Winston's gone. JPP's gone. The whole media room's gone. And we're still here.
Bruce Arians is gone, you think?
I think so. I think he's got a nice cold one in his hand right now. We show up. We get the job done. And, Lee, there's a lot of stuff to talk with. And we're here with our favorite host, Steve Isbitz. Rock Rally does a heck of a job. Lee, when you're the host, you do a nice job, but there's only one Steve Isbitz, and here he is. I can't wait to see what he's got to throw out to you. As far as the dog front, you know, we already sent the deposit. Not only that, the check's already been deposited.
So is the
and
dog,
we're not getting the dog till February. I don't know what goes on at these kennels.
Is the dog,
they got some racket.
Is the dog in uterus or what?
The dog's not even born yet. We don't know if it's a male, we're a female, maybe a mixed breed. We're looking for a Boston Terrier, and that's what it's going to be. It could be black and white. It could be red, but it's going to be a Boston Terrier. And we don't have a name yet. So
you don't have a dog yet.
We don't have a name yet. I'm going to take options from our fans. Send me emails or whatever. Ira's off the board. Not going to happen. We had one Dante. And we're looking for another one.
Vernon?
I want a dog that can catch. Continue.
Well, Ira, if you end up with a red Boston Terrier, please let me know. That would be
I believe they have red ones.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. My brother-in-law's got a red one, and cute as a button. Cute as a button.
Couldn't you get a Brooklyn Hound? You had to get a Boston Terrier?
Got to be a purebred over there.
And Charlie.
The check's already been cashed.
Here you go. Charlie. If it's a girl, Charlene. Why? You're the president of the Charles Sims Fan Club.
You know what? It could be Muriel in honor of Muriel Berkowitz, the one from my Brooklyn days. So here you go.
All right. Well, Ira, I will let everybody know now. If they want name suggestions, tweet them to Ira, iKaufman76. Don't send them to Joe Bucks Fan. Send them to Ira.
And whoever I pick, they get a gift in the mail. You know, one of my old stories from the old Tribune. I got the old clips. I send you something from 1997. There you go.
All right. Well, of course, the podcast, people can listen, iTunes, Google Play, subscribe, other platforms, get a nice little free ringity-ding-ding alert.
Where am I on that 50, baby? Where am I?
You flow in and out, Ira. It's been about 2 weeks since you've been on the top 50 there. You have the political season's heating up, makes it tough for Ira, you know. And, of course, there are good football teams that win games out there. fans are a little more electric in those cities.
I can't beat out Rachel Maddow. I can't touch her. What's going on over there?
If you want to touch Rachel Maddow, that's up to you.
It's good to have you back, Steven. And that's a perfect example of why we need you on this podcast.
All right, now let's say you guys do a fantastic job on the podcast. I enjoy listening to it, editing
it. Edit it.
I get
You're
great
doing
feedback.
All the editing
it's fantastic.
That.
You guys are always slinging it.
Lee, he's making us look good.
All right, Ira, look, we have to get your intense wisdom. I want Lee's wisdom on this. This is very important because Team Glazer has made the announcement beforehand in previous years that they claim that Bucks fans are the stockholders and the fans are what it's all about. So what's the biggest thing on the fans' mind is Jameis.
And his future.
And the decision that's coming up. So we did a poll, our 24-hour poll on JoeBucksFan.com that you're always interested in those numbers. The first time we've ever done a Jameis poll because it's kind of time, right? We're in the home stretch.
Well, when are you going to do a poll on the name of my next Boston Terrier? You might be able to do that, too. I'm expecting 1,200 votes.
If you want to pick your top four.
So we give them top four choices.
Yeah, exactly. And get your wife in there, maybe pick five or six, and we'll put it out to a vote.
All right.
So here's the question, Ira. The question was, pretend the season ended yesterday. What would you do next with Jameis Winston? 3,100 fans responded.
That's a big number, Steve. That's a big. Only a 24-hour period. You cut it off.
24-hour period, yes. The number one answer, franchise tag him for 2020. One-year deal, 48% went there.
Oh, man, 48%.
30% said let him walk. Don't renew his contract. 21.5%. said sign him to a multi-year contract. What do you make of those numbers, Lee? What do you think? Did it surprise you?
Lee, there's one conclusion and one conclusion only. 7 out of 10 fans that are responding on this survey want Jameis Winston under center for 2020. That is the takeaway. 7 out of 10 want Winston next season.
That surprises me because just eyeballing the comments on Joe Bucks Fan at best, it's 50-50 Jameis back. So that just leads me to believe that the people that want Jameis out there, they're the loud crowd I refer to him
and
as.
Lee, you're going to agree with this. You can't put too much of an emphasis on this week-to-week league, and it's week-to-week vis-a-vis Winston, because if he throws four picks against the Saints and we put up the same poll, I dare say, Lee, the numbers are going to be different.
Oh, sure. And I'm one of these people. I don't know if you call it naivete or not, but if the Bucks haven't made a decision by the end of November, what the hell are 4 or 5 extra games going to tell
you? Well, I'm kind of saying that about the franchise tag. If you can't make a decision about Winston in terms of long term after 5 years, I say move on. Tell me where I'm wrong about that.
Well, I mean, we're just rehashing an old argument. I maintain that the secondary is so brutal, I don't care who you bring in here, they're not going to have any better luck.
Would you give them a long-term extension right now?
3 years, 4 years,
four
5 years?
4 years.
4 years? Depends, again. What kind of option is there? And I'd have that thing loaded, incentive-laden. Like, here's your base salary. It's not going to be a whole lot. But if the team wins, if you do this, if you do Y, X, Z, you know, it goes up.
Steve, here's an argument about Winston that I don't like, and I believe Lee has articulated it, and I don't like it, and I say it right in front of DeKemper.
I'm just surprised you asked him what he thought. You ask him all the time.
And here's how it goes.
I knew what he thought.
Here's how it goes. Well, who are we going to get? We can't do any better.
You can't.
We got to keep him. I don't like that argument, Steve. Either he's the guy or he's not. How many ways can I say it? Either he is going to be elite or he's not. I want an elite quarterback.
Better
if you
draft
don't
one.
Think he's elite, after 5 years, move on and get somebody better.
All right, so Ira, dare I say, if you were voting in this poll, you would have been with the 30% that said let him walk by not renewing his contract. You're done.
I'm kind of leaning that way, unless he's spectacular.
Quit
down,
waffling,
down the stretch.
Kaufman. It's a poll. Pick one.
He's played 2 good games back-to-back, but I think you'd put me in the third category. That's correct.
All right, Ira, you're not a man of the people on this issue.
Never have been a man of the people.
No, yes, you have.
Have you seen the kind of jeans I wear? I'm not a man of the people over there, Lee.
You don't like that argument. You don't like that who we're going to get.
I don't like
it. I don't like the argument either. I don't like it either because I'm not afraid of the draft. Some guys make it. Some guys don't. You draft
the
quarterback.
That's different. If you're going to draft a guy, draft a guy.
Well, I'm thinking about drafting a guy.
But of all the prospective free agents out there,
No, I agree with you, Lee.
Maybe. And I mean, Philip Rivers
market,
is over the hill.
I'm not interested in the free
Cam
agent
Newton,
market.
Andy Dalton, no.
I'm with you. But you are very reluctant to even consider drafting a quarterback.
No, I mean, if they want to draft one, go ahead. But you know what? Bucks fans expect an immediate turnaround.
Well,
you better change your
Steve, the way the pro football's going. You get it. Sometimes you can get lucky and get an immediate turnaround.
Well, it's been like that since the beginning of time. You either hit it with the quarterback in the draft. Rarely does it take a guy a long time to develop. We've seen that
now,
over the
years. The flip
side
is they're not going to have the number one pick in the draft, and they're not going to get Burrow.
Right. Oh, okay. They're not playing.
Unless they give up an arm and a leg.
They're not playing right now to draft a quarterback. So it'll be an interesting debate. We're going to run the poll every week, let it count down, see where the people lay, whatever they're doing.
Now, yeah. Steve, let me throw this out, and I hate to throw, you know.
Well, can I say some funny background here? So as I'm yelling Team Glazer, just as the words Team Glazer come out of my mouth.
Your timing's impeccable.
Brian Ford, the chief operating officer, comes in from here, he's showing
he's
with a guest.
He's got
a guest, and I'm screaming, Team Glazer.
And he waved to you.
And he hung out for a bit, so that was pretty funny. So we don't censor for Mr.
So we had an audience, briefly.
We did have
a very upper crust visitor.
You know, Steve, I hate to throw the Kemper any plaudits, and you know that.
Why?
Like,
I don't understand.
Just like I hate to say anything positive about Mad Dog Russo. I got you in the same category, the Kemper. Except you're making $2.5 million less than Russo. But I will say this on the Kemper side, and I gotta be you gotta own up to, you know, facts are facts. They're scoring a lot of points, and that's what it's all about. It's not about yards between the 20s, which was an issue last year, not cashing in the red zone. He's scoring points. They're scoring touchdowns. So I gotta say, in that respect, you got to give the Kemper a little thing where he says, it's the defense, it's the defense. Well, it's a little simplistic, but you're starting to make some inroads on that, Lee.
Well, first off, what it's all about is W's. And one way to get W's is, oh, by the way, you score points.
Well, fans don't like it when I say it's all about the W's for a quarterback. They don't like it.
Well, about the quarterback, yes, as a team. But the quarterback, I mean, that's really a... Again, you get mad when I say this, but that's like, might as well resurrect Sean King. He had a fantastic win-loss record. And Steve Young, the best quarterback this team ever had, they got rid of because two wins.
Don't ask me to resurrect Sean King. don't do that.
Unbelievable win-loss percentage. Unbelievable.
All right, Ira, look, the Winston thing you brought up, how could you not know what you have already? And I think there's part of the organization, wondering who's going to walk in now, but part of the organization wants to see Winston play through the year without another off-the-field gaffe. And that's got to be in, hey, you know, let him play it all the way through and then we'll sign him kind of thing. I don't know what they're going to do, Ira, but...
Indications are he's matured off the field. Indications. But you're right.
Indications, sure.
I mean,
I'm not accusing him of anything, but you would think that the team wants to see the whole year, and they went into this saying, you know, let's see the whole year of Jameis. But... Here's where we need your wisdom, Ira, and this is why it's so crazy being a Bucks fan. You just want to run head first into the wall half the time.
By the way, don't look now, but Joel Glazer just walked into the room. Hey, Joel, how you doing?
So the Bucks have arguably the most inconsistent quarterback in the history of football in his first 5 years. Okay, if we looked at quarterbacks, arguably he's right there. They've got no running game to speak of, despite all these Hail Marys to Ronald Jones. And... offensive line is spotty. He's getting sacked left and right at an alarming rate.
Some because of his own doing. Some.
Sure, absolutely. And they can't really figure out the tight ends, yet they have one of the best offenses in the league. How does this all compute, Ira, in your million years of covering the league?
They got two outstanding receivers. And let me throw this out at Buck Nation, and I don't want to hear any claptrap about this. I don't want to hear any suggestions from anybody. And I don't care if you're living in Oldsmore, Plant City, or Riverside, or Riverdale.
Parish.
Don't give me any nonsense that Jameis Winston is making Mike Evans an elite receiver. And I'm hearing some of that nonsense. Lee, even you won't go that far. Godwin's outstanding. Half the teams in the league, he'd be the number one receiver.
Yeah.
Here he's number two. So for anybody to say, now they lost Humphreys, and they did. And that was a big one. And they're not getting anything out of the tight ends. And I think... I'm not going to put the tight ends on Winston. I think that's more of a schematic thing, and I don't understand it because I'd like to see him spread it out a little bit. But they're scoring a lot of points.
And a big reason why is they've got the best 1-2 receiver tandem. It's not the only reason, but it certainly helps, Lee. They got the best 1-2.
I remember a couple weeks ago, I was doing some research, and Steve used a perfect word, spotty. Only he described the offensive line. I would have, at the time, used it for the offense. You know, they're forcing passes to Scotty Miller. Forcing passes to Perriman. The tight ends are invisible. The running game, like Steve, you know, his team's beating a drum like they've got Franco Harris and Barry Sanders in the backfield. And I always thought that was overrated. Still do. You know, they're better. But,
they're better.
But don't give me, you know, they're not even close to Pro Bowlers. So I'm watching this offense like, man, this is not a good offense. And by accident, I come across, they led the league in points at the time. I'm like, holy spit. You're not getting rid of a quarterback that leads the league in points scored? No way.
I think they're averaging 32 in the last seven games. I mean, that's a big number.
I can't remember what it is, but I think it's fourth. I think it's fourth right now currently. But at the time, they were first, and I Yosemite Sam or something. Like, you got to be kidding me.
Now, look, Steve, hold on. I believe Baltimore's leading the league in scoring offense. I believe it's 33 or 34 points. And you look at that and you say, geez, they don't have any receivers. The running game besides Jackson. So it's all Jackson. So, you know, one guy. Now, I'm not trying to compare Winston to Jackson, but sometimes scoring can be a funny thing. I think Baltimore's got 5 defensive touchdowns in the last 3 games. That helps. Winston hasn't had that benefit. So I'm going to say it again. To DeKemper's argument for keeping Winston, and you've been very consistent about it, Lee, they're scoring a lot of points, and I can't argue against that. They are scoring points.
It's a great argument because we've never seen anything like this before.
Not in this town.
I think in football in general, and I stand by.
And they're not garbage points for the most part. Some are.
No, well, the defense isn't giving them short fields.
You know, they're not getting blown out in Arizona. Well, you know, or whatever. We've seen that too much over the years. Yeah.
It's really bizarre, Ira. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this in my years where you've got this crazy inconsistent quarterback, you've got this horrible defense, horrid. And, you know, I think fans, maybe you see what you think, Ira. Fans are trying to slice up the defense into, well, the front seven's great and the back end's not, and the running game and this. But they've allowed the most points in the NFL as we sit here today, the most points. It is awful, and I think we're all just trying to spin it into something it's not.
And you can't blame Mike Smith anymore.
You can't blame Mike Smith, and it's just this conundrum of, all right, we got Vita Vea, he's a monster, maybe this emerging guy, and we've got the best edge rusher this year in the NFL.
And the number one rush defense.
And our spiritual leader on defense came back, the sack master, JPP, and the run defense is the best, and the linebackers are good, and Lavonte David should be in the Pro Bowl, but yet the defense is awful. How does this happen, Ira? Explain to the people.
Well, I'll answer it before Lee gets his hooks into this one. The secondary is the primary. And by that, I mean, you know, if you're looking for fault. Now, look, this is not the fearsome foursome up front. You know, it's okay. Vay is a good player, but he's not a major factor on the pass rush in terms of finishing. Nassib is Nassib. Golston is Golston. Sue is okay. You know, he's strong against the run.
A shadow of his former self.
And he's going to finish with 6 sacks. So let's not go crazy.
He better hurry up.
And he better hurry up. And JPP's had, a couple of decent games. So let's not absolve the front four of their issues. They put a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson, but everybody does. We saw what Clowney, we saw what the Niners did to Russell Wilson. But there's really no excuse for this being the number 32 scoring defense in the league. There's no excuse for it. If you had an offense like Buffalo that's plodding along and scoring 16 points a game, well, maybe your defense is on the field too much. They're going to wilt. I don't see that necessarily. I'm not giving this team any excuses from a defensive standpoint. Bowles, you're not getting the job done. Your profile has not been raised. You're not getting another shot at a head coaching job unless you show me a dramatic turnaround, and I got no reason to think you are. The defensive coaching staff's not getting the job done, Lee, and the talent is questionable.
Well, and this is sort of a chicken and the egg question. Is the talent in the secondary or is the coaching? You know, we can't blame Mike Smith anymore. He's gone. It's actually worse. They pretty much have the same talent, pretty much. Now, I know Grimes is gone.
You're going to blame this all on little Justin Evans?
No. You know, Justin Evans was hurt most of last year, too. To go back to Winston real quick, Winston has had 3 years where they haven't won. I mean, if you look at the a pattern, 2016, defense played pretty good. They made a playoff run. 2017, defense was horrible. Team went downhill. Last year, defense was even worse. Team went more downhill. Got rid of the coach. Now the defense, you could argue, is still worse.
It's a common denominator.
But they have more wins. Yeah.
But here's another common denominator, and the Kemper's got to acknowledge this point. Winston's turnovers are another common denominator. He makes a lot of them.
He makes a lot, but I think he overcomes them, too.
Yeah, it's a tremendous amount of turnovers, and he's had his share of drop touchdowns. And on the flip side, you know, go back to that New Orleans game. He had, and of course, we're playing New Orleans this Sunday. He had two interceptions overturned by one penalty was on him, which was delay of game. So he sort of he bailed himself out. And the other one was he threw to Scotty Miller. He was covered. He threw it to him and got picked off the ball, foul, erased that. He's just all over the place. And, you know, like Lee's said, he's a roller coaster ride. But I think the organization has to decide, and this is really the big question is, do we want to ride the roller coaster with Jameis and sort of just improve around him and deal with his crazy highs and lows?
Steve, one point I did not get to ask Arians this question. I should have butted in and made myself heard.
He was feisty.
Feisty. I was going to ask Arians, does it stick in your mind, Bruce, that Carson Palmer, in the first half of his first season in Arizona, which was Arians' first season, 2013, Carson Palmer threw a lot of interceptions in the first half of that season, learning a new system, learning the Arians system. And he was a veteran and had more experience than Winston at that point. He had already been on Cincinnati and Oakland. He threw maybe 12, 14 interceptions in the first half of that season and dramatically reduced it as the season went on. They ended up winning 10 games. So I was going to ask him, is that kind of in your mind as part of the evaluation process of Winston? Maybe you grade him on a curve for the first half, and if he's throwing the same amount in the second half, that's alarming. But I don't think he will throw as many in the second half. So that's one point maybe that gets lost a little bit is Carson Palmer didn't pick everything up immediately either. So maybe you cut Winston a little bit of slack in that regard.
What was Andrew Luck's excuse? He was a rookie.
Andrew Luck was on a Hall of Fame track, and don't even mention Winston in the same
category. Never mentioned Winston. I'm not trying to drum up an argument with you, Ira, but I don't know if I'll use that argument there or that premise that you used. You just said Carson Palmer, he's a veteran, and even he struggled. Well, Andrew Luck didn't struggle. Ben Roethlisberger, when Arians took over, was what, fourth year? Younger than Jameis is now, I don't believe he struggled like that. So I don't know. I know where you're going, but
well,
I don't know if that's a consistent
Arians
argument.
Wasn't the full-time head coach in Indianapolis.
But he was calling the plays for his defensive head coach friend. He was in charge. But still, you can't – it's up to coaches to, okay, he's not ready for these plays yet. Let's do these plays that he's comfortable with. I don't think you can give that
Steve, bottom line, whether I agree with it or not, and you know where I stand, and I said it a year ago, and I'm surprised Isbitz isn't bringing it up, and I'm going to stand with it.
Wins.
Not even that. If he did what they said he did in that Uber, and he's offered no argument, no counter-argument, and I think we've learned overall that he can't remember, which is not exactly a feather in his cap.
No.
And I said, if he did what they said he did, I'm looking for another quarterback. And I've never gotten over that. I haven't gotten over that. He did that as a member of the Tampa Bay Bucks. He didn't do that in Tallahassee. He did it as a member of the Bucks. He represented the Bucks, and it was a terrible look for the Bucks.
What was worse than the act/non-act, because we don't know what happened in there, we may never know, is when he tried to cover it up with his teammates. That's not a leader. Leaders don't pull stunts like that. So there was I was talking with one of our brethren here, if I want to use that word properly, or at any rate, a fellow Bucks beat writer. Oh, Jameis, the leader? No, he's not. He goes, what do you mean he's not? And I brought that up. Leaders don't pull stunts like that. And he's like, no, he's a leader. Well,
yeah, everybody makes a mistake, but that was a big one. That was a big, big one.
Well, look, he is on the side of the stadium. So the organization is 100% behind him, doesn't exist in their minds.
Oh, Steve, I was going to say that no matter how I vote on this, and you know where I'm in that category C with the 30%,
I will say this, Lee, and I don't want to twist words or misinterpret. Based on what Bruce Arians said to my Hall of Fame comrade, Peter King, and I believe it was Sunday night after the game. I believe that's when King talked to him. Based on that conversation, he's leaning heavily that Jameis Winston's going to be here in 2020.
Of course, we all know who the final say is, or what the final say is.
Well, he's got the final. Oh, you mean the Glazers?
Yeah.
Well, they're going to take Arians' word.
But, Ira, this is where it comes back. We're going full circle to what you said about 15 minutes ago. You're telling us all, lecturing us all, don't take the week to week. You can't go week to week with Jameis and your decisions on him. But if there's no decision yet, and Arians, I don't even know why he's entertaining these questions, he should just say, look.
I think Arians has already made his decision.
Well, I don't know why Arians just doesn't say, Jameis is the starter. We're scoring a lot of points. I'm not talking about this. You know, he'll be here next year unless he's not.
I think Arians has made his decision. That's just my interpretation.
Are you confident he returns?
If Arians is returning, I'm confident Winston's coming back.
Well, that's what I mean. Are you confident Arians returns?
I'm with you. I'm not 100% on it.
Yeah, I'm not
100%.
But that's why I was going to say the day-to-day, it still comes back to what happens. They've told everybody we're trying to win. If they can't win, something's got to give.
Well, I'm not suggesting that Arians is going to get fired.
I hate to break this to you, but they're not running the table.
Well, I'm not suggesting that Arians is going to get fired, but it would not surprise you if Arians just said, hell with this. I'm done with this. You know, they keep losing. You know, I'm going back to the Lakers.
See,
I don't need this.
You convinced Arians is coming back on his own accord?
1 week at a time, Ira. It's too early for me to
that. Yeah, what's this 1 week?
You want me to predict he's walking away? I mean, they just won a game.
If Arians doesn't come back, I will predict there's a house cleaning.
Now, gentlemen, we have an elephant in the room, Mr. Isbitz.
There's two.
No. That's not that. That's some, I know who you're talking about. That's not.
All right, I'm going to let you continue, my man. Go ahead.
All right, Ira. You, of course, as we heard, are the Baron of Buffalo Wild Wings. You are back in action a week from Sunday. Bucks at the Falcons, the Raheem Cutter, the reunion tour, and you'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings in St. Petersburg, Tyrone Boulevard location. Ira, what's it like to watch a game with you at Buffalo Wild Wings like so many fans do?
You know, I am very pleased to report, gentlemen, that when I drive down to Buffalo Wild Wings, wherever it is, and I've been all over, you know, the Tampa Bay area, I'm a little concerned. I don't want to watch a game by myself for 3 hours and 15 minutes. But you know what? It's never happened. I always meet friendly faces. They invite me to sit at their table. I'm at the bar for a few minutes. Hey, Ira, sit with us. And, of course, the bonus is they're picking up the check over there, Isbitz. I'm not reaching into my pocket. I'm drinking vodka cranberries all day long. I'm having a nice salad, maybe a little slider action. And then at the end of the night, we got you, Ira. We got you. No more beautiful words can be said to the sage. Plenty of screens, and then, you know, I got a fantasy league team. If I want to look at another screen and see if the Chiefs are choking away another game to the Titans, I can see that. Just the other week when I think we were in South Tampa, I mean, five games were coming down to the wire. Same time. It was crazy. It's a great atmosphere. Good menu. Drinks are great. Wait staff's fantastic.
Chocolate cake?
Chocolate cake on occasion. It's a great time. I invite all our listeners, all our readers, come down to Tyrone. You'll have a good time with me.
Buffalo Wild Wings hosts the Sage World Tour. All the dates for the rest of the season are at JoeBucksFan.com. All right.
Because I know there's a guy you haven't mentioned, and it's a big issue that happened this week.
There's two elephants in the room. All right. Yes, of course, we're going to bring up Vernon Hargraves. And you know what? Let's get right to it. Hargraves cut. Sage thoughts.
Well, first thought, perhaps he's a scapegoat. He's a scapegoat. Was he playing significantly worse than some other guys that we can mention? Was he? Arguable. What's very interesting to me about Hargraves, and this goes to the classic Isbitz week-to-week league, nothing exemplifies it more than what I'm about to say. After week two, Vernon Hargraves was the best defensive back on the Tampa Bay Bucks. Nobody can argue that.
This year.
After week two, nobody was going to argue that. He made a pick six, and he made the play of the year in Charlotte.
You're
seven
right.
games
I
later,
yeah.
He's got the copy of the home game, and you love that line.
You know, I forgot all about the tackle. You're right.
Now, maybe it wasn't so much about getting beat, but it's about hustle. And they made an example out of him. The first thing I'm going to say is this, Steve. Without having insider knowledge and at the risk of you two guys chewing my head off, it was not a Jason Light decision.
Glazers?
No, the Hargraves thing. It was a coaching staff decision.
It smells like it.
Light was not the impetus for this decision. And why would it be? Why would you want to be up in front and center? I'm giving up on one of my first-round picks.
You know, I've not been – here's what I can say. The only thing I have – only information I have, and this was told to me. I learned this from someone within One Buck Palace. At the trade deadline, when there are players, especially first-round picks, who are in the final year of their contract, teams generally will give the other team, the team that holds that player's
rights.
They
poke around a little bit.
Around. It's like maybe they can get a cheap rental. The Bucks received zero inquiries over Vernon Hargraves.
I'm going to say this without insider knowledge, and you tell me. I don't think Hargraves impressed the coaching staff from Wednesday to Sunday. I think there were problems, work ethic / practice habits. Heck, we already had an issue in the summer with Vernon Hargraves.
Spring, May 31st.
And Arians doesn't call guys out by name. We were stunned that he did that then.
It was underwear football practice.
It's an ongoing issue. I don't think it was necessarily the ball skills or his technique. I think they felt he wasn't working hard enough, Steve, and he had to go.
He also stinks. I mean, that most of the secondary stinks.
And he wasn't coming back next year.
He wasn't coming back. Here's what's interesting, though, since you were talking about Light decision, Arians' decision, Hargraves is now a member of the Houston Texans. Who coaches the Houston Texans?
When did that happen? Meanwhile, I'm on a conference call, you know, with Bill Belichick, and you're getting the latest dope on the Bucs over here.
So Bill O'Brien coaches the Texans. Bill O'Brien, very close with Jason Light. I believe they had the same agent. Buddies up in New England.
You're always looking for connections.
Lee and I have seen them having cocktails together in
you know,
the combine.
You'd be great on that game, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. You'd be fantastic in that. You find things from 13 years ago, entanglements, connections. Anyway,
that's not very complicated.
Houston's cornerbacks are not very good. It's been a problem.
Well, you know that O'Brien has been said to be this powerful head coach. They've made a bunch of moves, and he's sort of in charge now. I think they launched the general manager.
Yep.
Right? So O'Brien doesn't he pick up the phone and say, Jason, what's the deal with Vernon?
He should.
He probably does. And that's just very interesting that he lands on Jason Light's friend's team.
I would not be surprised if Hargraves is a starting slot corner for the Texans before a week or two is out. It wouldn't surprise me.
So Lee and I are at the combine a few years ago, right? So we walk into this place. We got the Cowboys bus outside, you know, Jerry Jones bus, and there's Light. He's with his agent. He's drinking with O'Brien, and they're sitting at a table, and Light sees us. He's like, geez.
Yeah. Did he buy you a drink or anything?
Later. You know, we're sitting there talking to Rappaport and a couple other people. It's getting late, and it was just – but just Light's face when he saw us cruise in there, it just was funny.
You know,
well, I got a better story.
Lee, one more quick thing. One more quick thing about the Hargraves decision.
Take your time.
To release him. You're right. We got you, Izbits. We're going to take our time on this podcast. We're going to give Ukulele Pete a full ride down the Autobahn. A full ride. I don't know where he's going. He might be going from Nice to Monaco. But we're going to give him a... That's not Germany. Lee, this decision is surprising in this regard. Now, look, he wasn't going to be part of the 2020
No.
plan, and we all know that. But, Lee, it's not like they've got all kinds of options at cornerback with Michael Thomas coming to town.
No.
I mean, that's a little scary. I don't know. Carlton Davis didn't practice today. We don't know about his availability Sunday. They just signed a guy off the street. Don't tell me he's going to cover Michael Thomas. Is Jamel Dean going to travel with Michael Thomas no matter where he is? You're facing arguably the best receiver in football. I think right now he is the best receiver in football. And it scared the heck out of me if I'm Kevin Ross trying to match up with Michael Thomas right now. It's not like they had a lot of depth at cornerback.
Well, you're thinking backwards. It's going to set me up for a huge rant. But right before
you got a rant?
Yeah, I got to finish the story that Steve teed me up on. So that night, Steve and I at the combine, and Jason Light, Ian Rappaport joined the party, a couple other people.
What am I going to join you? Join you characters at the combine? What am I going to join you? Well, when you buy me a ticket to Indianapolis?
I guess that's what you're waiting for.
That's my rant. Now, go ahead.
So, anyway, we closed down the bar like 2, 3 o'clock. And next morning, we had to get up early because the NFL waits for no one. I was kind of hurting. I'm no longer 25 years old. And that was when I was going through my eye surgeries. And we're in the lobby of the the football stadium, what the hell they call it there, the big barn. It looks like an old high school basketball gym. Lucas Oil. We're in the lobby. If you've ever been in the lobby there, it's like very bright sunshine. So I was blinded, and I was talking to who I thought was Light's right-hand man, and I found out later it was the GM of the Seahawks. And I'm like, man, that was a six Advil morning.
Anyway, what's your rant? Lee, you got a rant? I said the Bucks don't have a lot of depth, and in that respect, it was a little surprising.
That is trivial. And I'll start off with Jason Light's statement. You know, Jason Light has a statement. Oh, he said, we've been thinking about this for a few weeks. Wait a minute. You released that statement 2 weeks after the trade deadline. You've been talking about this for weeks, what to do with Hargraves. And I think all three of us know that Hargraves was on thin ice for some time.
Now, wait a minute, Lee. You already said there was no interest in Hargraves from any other team.
I don't give a damn what you do with Hargraves. Just because the Bucks didn't want Hargraves, just because no other team inquired about Hargraves, doesn't mean you could have made a freaking trade.
So you shop him. You shop him.
You don't shop anybody. Vernon Hargraves, you could throw him in the Gulf of Mexico for all I give a damn about. You've got draft picks you can trade for a body, a starting cornerback. I mean, Marcus Peters, fifth round. I know he's a knucklehead, fifth round pick. Micah Fitzpatrick, first round pick. I could go on. There were guys available. And here the Bucks were openly discussing unloading one of their corners. And let's be honest, the secondary has dragged this team down, has Pearl Harbored this team. And what did the Bucks do to trade down the lane? Not a damn thing. And I'm sorry if this hacks off people in this building. That's criminally negligent. This organization had a team that could have made a wild card run. Honest to God, we talked how many minutes. They're scoring points. They've got the best run defense. They've got a pass rush. They've got enough for a decent team except for one freaking thing, the secondary. And they were openly talking about getting rid of one of their corners, and they did nothing at the draft pick.
Not a bad rant.
That is freaking so irresponsible, Ira. And we were just talking like it sounded like that was Arians' call, not Light's. Well, Bruce Arians, you just screwed your team out of a playoff run.
Maybe they thought some of these young cornerbacks were on the brink of turning the corner. Bunting.
Oh, that's a hell of a dumb gamble because they didn't show that.
We're talking inside information, non-inside information. Look, early this spring, Arians was on Sirius Radio, and he said, and it was a little bit garbled, but he said it. I went all Zapruder with it. I replayed it like 20 times. And he said that they got two of their top three cornerbacks on their board in this draft, and they were just tickled to get Bunting and Dean. Now, I heard him say, we got two of the top three corners on our board, and then they went into it to get multiple cornerbacks. So I was like, man, that's quite a strong statement right there. You know, everybody's always wondering what the draft board looks like and the plans.
And so, this is like before OTAs or during OTAs?
It's in March. Yeah. It's, No, I'm sorry. Right, May.
May.
So I asked Arians about that. Got a chance to ask him one-on-one. And he said, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I asked him if he misspoke. I didn't want him. Yeah, did the old, I don't want to quote you wrong kind of thing. And he said that they did, that those were two of the top three on their board. And he said,
they also said Devin White was one of the top two guys on their board.
And he said, at the time, he said, Vernon and Carlton can cover, and, these rookies are fantastic, and we like it.
And by the way, I'm not anti-Arians on that rant. No.
They missed an opportunity.
They did.
They knew the secondary was bad quickly.
How could they not?
And they let it go.
And that cost this team a chance.
They had a chance maybe to stop the bleeding.
Well, think about it. Arians has said, we're two plays away from pick a number, 4-3, whatever.
Well, they're also a play away from being 2-7.
Right.
If Hargraves doesn't make that play.
But you're also one corner. If you want to play that silly logic, you're also one corner from being undefeated.
Now, you're not going to get Patrick Peterson. You understand that. But
they didn't need Patrick Peterson.
They can't afford him, probably. But
I don't think you want him because he's injury prone. He's hurt again. He's getting up
and
years.
And he was suspended at that time.
But, I wrote this two or three times. I would suggest there were 70 defensive backs available. If, for the right price, of course, there were 70. If you think about it, there's 32 teams, four defensive back starters, the non-nickel package. You tell me you couldn't find anybody to come here and start?
And one more point, Lee, and we didn't mention it, and we have to mention it. One overview of the Hargraves decision. Not that we needed the Hargraves release to verify this. Jason Light batted 0-0-0 in a draft. You mean, can't do that.
First three rounds?
No, the whole draft.
Well, Ryan
Smith's still around.
Ryan Smith's still around.
Ryan Smith, you're dragging him out as an argument?
I'm not.
Did you see him last week? And I've been screaming that he should play more because, you know, let's see the guy, and I just saw him.
I'm saying for accuracy's sake, he's still on the roster.
Lee, if that's the best you've got, you ought to be working for the government.
I'm not saying pro Light. I'm not saying pro Ryan Smith. You're saying they're betting 0-0.
It's well, a 0-0-0.
If you consider Ryan Smith a zero, then you're correct. I do not.
As soon as I saw Ryan Smith 7 yards trailing that guy for the touchdown, the first thing I thought of was Ira was screaming, I want to see more Ryan Smith.
You can't go 0 for a draft, Steve. You can't do it.
No, you can't go 0 for a draft. Look, when we do look back at this season, and of course we're trying to keep a high bar, you're the one who was screaming months ago, you know, 7-9, not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, and I was out there saying, I think 7-9 would be great. It'd be glorious.
It's may I make a point, Isbeth? May I?
You can make three.
I think I said this to the Kemper. Maybe I said it to him in private. I'm going to throw it out at you. And you might have a problem with this, so I'm going to throw it out there. I'm hearing some murmurings. I don't like murmurings. I don't like little suggestions. And I'm starting to hear some of the comments on the Joe Bucks board, and maybe it's my mistake for reading some of these comments. But anybody who wrote this should be ashamed of themselves. Any suggestion that goes something like this. Well, it was never about 2019. It was all about getting geared up for 2020. We weren't going to do anything this season. That's a bunch of garbage. That's what you say when you're 2-6 and you got nothing to say. That's stupid. You think Arians took this job thinking about 2020? That's a bunch of garbage. You want to argue with me on that, Isbitz? Do it at your own power.
Ira, I don't argue with I don't argue with
that's
you on that.
That's nonsense.
Look, the team decided to keep a $7 million backup tight end. That's not a team that is thinking about the future.
They decided to keep JPP after his injury. That's not a team that's thinking about 2020. They could have jettisoned
And they didn't trade him after the first game.
I would argue that's a team not thinking about 2019 either. I mean, when he got healthy, realistically, if you're going to bank on JPP, and I wrote this on Twitter, someone asked the question, and I responded in this way. Part of the response was the following. Clearly, the Bucks banking on JPP. Only the Bucks would do that because when he became healthy, he would likely come back to the team too late to help. And that's exactly what happened.
Steve, I don't like revisionist history, and anybody that's silly enough to say it was never about 2019, that is revisionist.
John Wilkes Booth did it.
That's nonsense.
Well, you know what? To those people, I would say
they're 3-6. That's the facts. And that's not acceptable.
I would say it's still about 2019. It's still about 2019 because if the team goes 2-5 to close out here, there's going to be some serious issues when serious changes, and I don't know who's going to survive. Because
and Arians will be in the crosshairs at that point. He will be.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of this, Ira? I brought it up, and I really wanted your sage wisdom since you're so brilliant.
Well, what am I supposed to say to that, Lee?
Arians, you guys heard him. Arians was out there talking to one of the reporters saying, I don't know if I have a job next year, do you? You remember that a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Where are the Glazers to step out and say, or Light to say, Bruce, you got a job next year? You know, well, you're our guy. Where are they? What is that?
Well, I understand.
You mean like
your
the
point,
Jets
but
did?
I also don't think he's in any danger of getting fired, Lee. I really don't. I just don't.
They finish out 2-5.
They never fired anybody off one season. I don't think they're going to start here. I just don't see it. To Lee's point, he could say, I don't want to do this anymore. And thinking maybe Winston's not the guy and I don't want to start with a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. All those factors are legit. They are legit.
Well, that's why they never drafted any offensive linemen. They said if you draft offensive linemen, you're preparing them for the next coach.
I'm trying to raise the expectations of Buck fans around here, Steve. I'm just trying. And
I agree with
7-9, you know, 6-10, it's another crap season in a franchise that's had too many of them. It's not acceptable.
That's why I brought it up, and it's hard for me personally as a fan to stomach this is the worst defense in the league, and people are picking out daisies from this defense. It's not stop it.
You know, I mean, people in Buffalo are not thinking 8-8's a good season. They're in line for the playoffs for the second time. The Buffalo Bills, Lee, with no quarterback. They're looking at another playoff berth. What's going on around here? This can't happen in Tampa?
I think we know. Bad coaching and bad draft picks.
A lot of badness. A lot of miscalculations of the talent.
Major.
You know, and I don't know how you fix that, because we all know, we are all smart enough to know that what's going on the defense is a combination problem of Arians, Bowles, and Jason Light. And how do you fix that? They're all here.
Here's another crazy example, Steve. Maybe you agree, Lee, whatever. If they had a young offensive tackle, a young one, first-year player, second-year player, maybe you replace Damar Dotson at this point. You're 3-6. You're spinning your wheels.
Offense isn't the problem.
No, I'm talking about building for next season. Well, this season's over.
You heard what our Arians said,
right?
This
season's over. You don't have that guy. How can you not have a young tackle? Young swing tackle.
I can tell you. I will quote Bruce Arians like I did 40 seconds ago.
This ought to be a hell of a quote.
It's the same thing I said 40 seconds ago. Arian said, you draft an offensive lineman, you're grooming him for the next coach.
So go groom him.
Well, you know what that means, right?
What do you mean you're grooming him for the next? That's
I'm just telling you what Arian said.
It doesn't address my main point. No, they don't have that guy.
You're right, Ira. And last year they had Kappa. They wouldn't play him ahead of Beninock, and they lost valuable development time because the coaches were so dialed into
we
got to win
and
save our jobs. Yeah. And you'll get the same thing this year. You know, the Cam Brate thing, I think, is going to go down. It's such a big mistake because they're just not interested in using the guy. And they could have gotten a corner for the $7 million they're paying him back in March. Crazy.
If you would have told me Brate would have had this production after 9 games, I'd say, why the heck did you bring him back?
I would have been very surprised if he would be this less productive.
He's basically not playing.
Yeah.
He's barely playing. All right, Ira, now look.
Another guy who doesn't fit in the plans for 2020.
This is very important because we're talking about the shape of the team and the future. Since you're screaming that the season's over, but you got high expectations, you're all over the place, Ira.
I'm not all over the place. I got high expectations, and this season sucks. Period. I
got a lot of choices to put what to put on the beginning of this podcast.
You got to fight for a playoff spot, otherwise you stink. Those are your choices.
The Bucks stink.
Okay.
All right, Ira, before I get to this important thing.
You saw the crowd Sunday? Come on now.
What do you want me to say? It was a mirage?
Come on now. You can't have that. You can't have that. It's not acceptable.
All right, you're fantastic.
And I'm not blaming the fans. It's not acceptable in terms of, you know, they're coming out to see a 2-6 football team.
Do you blame them?
No, I don't blame them.
Did you get your Shaq Barrett jersey in the mail?
You finally solved that. I had no idea who sent it to me.
Oh, I told you.
Who sent me that jersey? My wife asked me 3 times the other day. Who sent it? There's no nothing.
What, she thought you have a dalliance or something?
I don't know. It came from Jacksonville. The only thing I saw was it came from Jacksonville. How are you involved in
all
that?
All right, well, Ira is going to be wearing that Shaq Barrett jersey on the next weeks of Tampa 2 on the Identity Tampa Bay.
Oh, interesting.
And then you're going to give it away at future Buffalo Wild Wings. So it'll be not
so only... where's the note that says that in the package?
I actually emailed you to tell you this. You must have.
I don't read any emails. I got a busted.
I know.
I got a busted phone.
I know.
I got a busted computer.
I know.
Actually, let me say right now that you boys bought me a nice computer. I'm much, much appreciated.
Now you got to learn how to use it.
And it's very good. And it's very good.
Well, you wrote back on the email.
I got the Shaq Barrett thing the other day. I thought maybe, I thought Javier sent it to me. I got no idea.
All right, anyway, your show.
Javier in Jacksonville.
Twice a week, the Identity Tampa Bay, Ira, Derek Brooks. It keeps getting better and better. Brooks, a lot of great insight. He's not even letting you talk.
And am I smart enough to let him talk?
He doesn't let you talk much anymore.
He's the star, and I let him talk.
You barely talk.
All I do is throw in a couple of zingers. Every Wednesday, or now it's been pushed back to Thursday, 5 o'clock. Sirius XM, Channel 82, 30 minutes of The Sage and the Mad Dog.
And you also do TV.
Oh, there's no question I do TV. Roy Cummings, Monday Night, Spectrum,
Fox 13.
Fox 13 Tailgate.
Can we just say no one's watching you and Roy? Can we just sit it up?
No, you can't say that. And I try to slap him around.
But there is a show that you do people do watch.
Well, it's on Spectrum on Monday night.
No, it's not.
It's on Bay News 9.
No, it's not.
Fox 13, Tailgate Sunday.
Hello. Tailgate Sunday. Oh, well, he just mentioned
it. Well, you mentioned it.
Yeah. Along with Ricky Reynolds
and I'm kicking his butt and make your case.
What time?
10:30 in the morning, Sunday, Fox 13.
And people watch that.
You better watch
it. They do.
Yeah, so, it's very popular.
And I just went 1-4 on my picks. And speaking of that, and we're going to close out later with our picks, I'm 2-7 picking Buck games. I'm not very proud of that, Stephen. I'm not.
So, Ira, and just to stick it to you a little bit, you were at the fantasy football draft. I hear you're on a streak.
I was. I just lost. I just lost to Sean Sullivan.
Bill Curry Ford, general manager, of course.
He's beaten me twice this year. Two matchups, two losses for the Saints.
Are you letting him win?
No. He had a bad week. I had a worse week.
Oh.
I had Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers, he either gets five touchdown passes or he does nothing. What's going on with this guy?
Well, here's a real quick one with Aaron Rodgers. This is no joke. Go through his history. Whenever he plays on the road at a warm weather site, he often struggles.
Why didn't you tell me that a week ago? I would have benched him for Derek Carr. Anyway, I'm 4-6. I got 2 weeks left to straighten this out.
So at the fantasy draft, I wasn't there, but I was Bobby Fenton of the Free Stretch podcast and Joe Bucks fan. We were in communicado during the draft, and he picked my team for me. Now, I was supposed to be in the league, and I was picking. We were in real time, but some people changed. Todd Wright moved some things. I find out at the end of the draft that I wasn't in your league. I was in the league with the heavyweights, Todd Wright Fantasy.
Well, what am I, chopped liver?
Well, it's the chopped liver league, and right. Except for Sean.
With a schmear, yeah. Chopped liver.
So first place, Ira, who do you think's in first place in Todd's league?
In your league?
It's probably the guy I'm looking at. That's the guy you're looking
What's your record, big boy?
7-3.
Nice. Who's your quarterback?
I've had several.
Actually, Jameis wouldn't be a bad fantasy guy, right?
I had him earlier in the year. I got rid of him.
after the London debacle, dumped him.
I don't remember. I couldn't stomach it anymore.
So who is your quarterback, by the way? Don't tell me you got Lamar Jackson.
No, I played Tannehill the last couple of weeks, pretty well.
He dumped Winston for Tannehill. What do you say?
It's fantasy football. It doesn't count. All right, Ira, look. Arians does this radio show, Buccaneers Radio. The Bucs get upset if you don't call it the right thing. Buccaneers Radio Network, official Bucs.
Is there anything you don't monitor, Isbits?
I don't know. Ira Lee and I cover the bases. You know, we have to listen to these things in case somebody says something. So Arians is asked about spreading the ball around and, you know, who's your third target? Is it more of a pass catcher thing versus a third wide receiver because you got the two big guns catching all these passes, Evans and Godwin? And Arians goes on to say that as long as we keep spreading it around and the majority goes to the two guys that are getting paid the most, not one of them, but he's going to get paid the most, so that's the way it's going. So he was referring to Godwin, saying that Godwin is going to get paid the most. And
I don't know about that interpretation.
No, that's exactly how it was.
Well, he's not going to be a Buccaneer and make more money than Mike Evans.
Well, why not?
That's not going to happen.
Why not? Well, you guys spoke earlier that he could be a number one receiver on many teams. Why would he take a discount? And Arians hasn't.
How's that going to sit with Mike Evans?
Well, Arians hasn't played 100% of the snaps. He's the blocking icon. He's going to catch 100 balls this year. And he's a do-it-all receiver.
He's not as good as Mike Evans. And you're not going to argue that.
But what are you going to tell Chris Godwin? Sorry, you're not as good as Evans. He can't get paid. This is the coach saying he's...
I'm not saying Godwin's not going to make a lot of money, but he ain't going to make a dollar more than Mike Evans. Or we got a problem here in Tampa.
Lee, what do you think?
In theory, Ira's right. In practicality, I think Godwin might get paid more.
Then they got to tear up Evans' contract. Which they might.
I go at it with fans all the time. When fans, free agency, you can't pay X for that guy? That's too much. Too much today is a bargain 3 years from now. Evans is on his third year of his contract? So by the time Godwin's due, he'll be 5 years into his contract. Am I right? So obviously it would not shock me if Godwin got more because that's just the way the NFL is. The newer the contracts, the more expensive they are.
Then you got to rip up Evans' deal, which – they could do.
But then you might have a $30 million quarterback, and nobody has two number one receivers getting number one money and a $30 million quarterback. I don't think anybody has that.
I don't know if I'm spending that kind of money on both receivers. I don't know if I'm doing that. I think I'd have to let one go.
None of us know what the salary cap is going to be after 2020.
It's too impactful on other positions, namely the trenches, which I've been berating DeKemper now for 3 years to put more resources into the trenches.
Mike Evans has 4 years left at $14.5 million a year. And guys like Sammy Watkins got...
Horrible contract for Watkins. Chiefs are morons. The guy's always hurt. He's not productive. Don't get me going on Sammy Watkins. Now you struck a nerve.
What about
Terrible
Cheetah?
Deal by the Chiefs.
What about Cheetah?
Who's Cheetah?
Oh,
who's Cheetah?
On. You're no Chiefs fan if you don't know who Cheetah is.
You talking about Tyreek Hill?
Of course, that's Cheetah.
Tyreek Hill's the fastest player in football, period. Fastest since he's a tremendous player. He's a tremendous player.
He didn't
player.
Know his nickname's
he's
Cheetah?
He's improved tremendously as a complete receiver. He's not just a speed guy. His hands are good. He runs good patterns. He's fantastic. He's fantastic. Don't get me going on Sammy Watkins.
Well, Godwin's going to want to be paid. Why wouldn't he want to be paid? He might catch...
I don't have a problem
with
that.
He might catch 100 balls, 1,400 yards, and 15 touchdowns this year.
I'm not sure they can sign Godwin to a second contract. But he's going to be paid.
I know what Lee would tell you is this organization has no business getting rid of good players. We've done it far too often.
Well...
Find a way.
Now, wait a minute. Now, you also want to give Winston $25 million next year or $30 million.
Well, once again, we don't know what the salary cap's going to be after 2020, so I think that is wild speculation. You can't afford this guy, can't afford that guy. I'll say it's safe to assume that the salary cap's going to go up.
Well, right now, you want to give $60 million to three players. I mean, that could be a problem. The 15, 15, and 30 to Winston could be a problem going down the line. But you're right. Cap goes up every year. No question about it. All right. I got no problem with Godwin making money. I got a problem with him making more than Mike Evans at this point. At this point.
Well, that's all we got is this point. All right, so we got the Saints coming into town here. You have a chance to expand on your horrible losing record.
I believe they're 5.5 favorites, Stevie, about 5.5.
That I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I thought you know all things Vegas over there. Anyway,
all things
continue,
Vegas.
Continue.
I'm not sitting here studying lines on a Wednesday.
You're going to make me go first with this pick, Steve? You're going to make me go first?
You don't have to go first, Ira.
I'll go second.
Talk about the game. What do you want to see? What do you want to see and give us a score? You go first. You're the big sage.
All right, I'm going to say this up front. If the Bucs put up 30 without the help of a defensive touchdown, you know, or a score and a fumble and a scoop.
All from the offense.
You know, or a block punt or something like that. Legitimate. 31 points. On this defense.
Is there an illegitimate point scored?
You know, as bad as the Saints were last week, I think Atlanta only scored 21 points.
Fun game to watch. I recommend that on NFL Game Pass.
Raheem.
It is a very good Saints defense.
Raheem.
It's very good.
Raheem.
Yeah, and give him credit. I guess they had three guys calling defensive plays over there. I mean, I think he's got another secondary guy, and then they got Quinn. I mean, I don't know how the hell they organized that, but it was effective. Well, anyway, what I'm saying is the Bucs put up 31 points Sunday, legit points. I might start changing my mind about Jameis Winston. I might be changing my mind. See, that's how flexible I am, Isbits. So that's the number one. Don't sleep on the Saints defense. I believe it's a top seven defense in this league.
That's fair.
I think it's top seven. Look out for Davenport, Cameron Jordan, usually feasts. Look out DeMar. Look out, left tackle.
And by the way, you're always talking about Chandler Jones. Boy, did he put on a show.
Yeah, Chandler Jones never gets any pub. The guy, every year, he's got sacks. Nobody wants to talk about him. I'm going to go right to my pick. I'm going to go right to it, Lee. I mean, we've been in
can't
here.
Wait.
We've been in here an hour and a half. Javier can't handle anymore. And I've been warned not to pick the Bucs anymore this season. Well, I don't know if I'm going to go with that, but I certainly ain't picking them Sunday. And the Falcons didn't do the Bucs any favors by beating the Saints.
Woke up
didn't
a sleeping
do them any
giant.
Favors. Saints are going to win this game, but the Bucs are going to score some points. 31-21, Saints.
They're going to score some points. I'll get
what
touches.
Do you got, DeKemper? What do you got?
It'll be a closer game. Saints will win. Closer game. Drew Brees is, you know, regular natural grass isn't his favorite. The Saints will win 38-31, Saints.
Nice. Steve, you've been doing all right in picking these games. You've been doing
well,
okay.
I lost last week. I'm not going to complain about it. I was happy to lose, but I was right there with Arizona. Yeah, you were with me, Ira.
I was
right,
with
right
you.
With me.
And Arizona almost won the game. I mean,
it's a miracle that they didn't call that mugging on Jamel.
It was Dean. A mugging.
Finally,
it was
they got a call. Finally. And, of course, that's how crazy the league is, because if he gets called for the mugging and the guy hits
what was the yard line? What yard line was it?
It was like the 19. Ooh. The guy hits the 37-yard field goal. Jamel Dean's a goat 2 weeks in a row. Get him out of town. He sucked.
And they're in overtime. Right.
Now he's
the toast of Tampa.
Rising talent.
How do you see this game, Steven?
the Bucs secondary versus Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. You talked about it before. It's a cover your eyes situation.
Kamara's healthy.
The Bucs have shut down most running games, a couple of big plays here and there, but I have to just be right there with Lee. I'll say 35-31 Saints. I mean,
kind of crowd you expecting? Better than Arizona?
Well, New Orleans always draws
be
a
better.
Little bit.
It's going to be better.
I don't know. I don't really care about the crowd, but it's not a great environment, a great home environment here by any stretch. It's just the way it is.
People in the seats to you is what TV ratings are to Russo.
Yeah.
You're right. obsessed with that.
Who's going to Atlanta, gentlemen? Is it the Kemper?
Yeah.
The Kemper on the road to
it? Yeah.
We're already gearing up for your Vegas trip next year.
Oh, I can't wait for that. I can't wait.
We've got a couple of big announcements coming up. Ira, you don't know about these things. As soon as we hang up the podcast here, you're like, what the hell's going on? What do you mean announcements?
Well, you already got that jersey announcement. That's fun. That's fun.
I already told you about
that. So Brooks is going to wear a tie if the Bucks win, I'm going to wear that jersey.
You're wearing your Barrett jersey. You'll talk a little bit about Barrett, then you'll give it away at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Now, wait a minute. If Brooks hears this podcast, which he does listen to it, I can't surprise him with the Shaq Barrett jersey. It would have been a nice surprise if I walked in there. Should I wear a sports coat over it? Or just the jersey? Just the jersey.
Well, if you want to really surprise him, you'll wear a Drew Brees jersey in there.
No, you can't wear a sports coat over a jersey. It's going to be the Shaq Barrett jersey.
All right, Ira, the Buccaneers sit here at 3-6. Here we are. This is the state of the Bucs. Give your farewell address to the great fans of Tampa Bay. What do they need to know as they go to bed tonight?
What they need to know is I'm wavering about Winston a little bit, which I think is the shocker of the week. I think it's more surprising than the Hargraves release. I'm wavering a little bit because they're scoring a ton of points. The Saints are a step up, certainly, from Arizona, and they got a better defense than Seattle. Seattle's defense ain't that good. They got Clowney, and I think if they didn't have Clowney, I think they'd be getting torched in Seattle because they lost all these good players, especially in the secondary. What I do say is, if Winston has a big game against the Saints, I might have a hell of a thing to say on next week's podcast. I'll leave it just like that.
So, Ira, where's your next stop?
Oh, there's no question, Steve. Not even a question. Bill Curry Ford.